Podcasting from Houston, Texas, J. Thomas Smith has another story of success, motivation, and inspiration on My Laws of Success. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome your host, Dr. J. Thomas Smith.
To My Laws of Success with Dr. J. Thomas Smith, a podcast that explores the many facets of personal development and success. Each episode is a journey into the principles and practices that can help you achieve your highest potential. Join me, Dr. J. Thomas Smith, as we dive into inspiring stories, practical strategies, and transformative insights to empower you to build a life of fulfillment and achievement. Whether you seek motivation, guidance, or a fresh perspective, this is your destination for personal growth and success. Let's embark on this journey together with our guest today, Imani McKinnon, the author of The Life. Imani, good afternoon and welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Mr. Smith and everyone. How are you doing?
Very good. Now, Imani, can you share with us your journey from birth as a quadriplegic? Tell us about your story, how it happened.
Well, I was born in 1979, Brooklyn Hospital. I'm a C5 quadriplegic. And how it happened was a practice doctor delivered me and snapped my spinal cord. And so I'm a C5 quadriplegic.
What inspired you to write The Life?
You know, it's funny because I was just typing and on my phone. And I didn't think of anything of it, you know, until a friend of mine named Adi, shout out to Adi, he saw my manuscript and he said, since you have a gift. I was like, a gift? I didn't think of it, anything of it. I was like, a gift? I was like, what's a gift? You know, not what's a gift, but I knew. But I just didn't realize, like, I had it. But so he said, no, you have a gift. You need to find a publisher and do this book. And I said, all right. So I took my brother's advice, Adi. And from there, I just went into it. The takeaway of it is I had a lot of complications. I had a lot of stuff during my childhood, the good and the bad, but the bad mostly. I had a lung collapse. I stopped breathing twice. So, you know, but I'm still here. My takeaway is whatever you desire or you want to do or you're passionate about, just do it. Just do it. Don't let anybody tell you, oh, it's not going to work or, you know. So, no, you know, just keep pushing and just keep going.
I think that's great advice. Now, how has being a quadriplegic from birth shaped your outlook on life?
My outlook on life, wow. Well, I'm somebody's daughter. You know, I'm a human being. I'm a human being. I'm somebody's daughter, I'm somebody's sister, somebody's niece, friend. I'm everything. You know, I'm just disabled, but I do things differently. And it's, you know.
I think that's a great way to phrase it. You know, in your book, you talk about your relationship with your dad. Seemed like you all had a great relationship.
Yes. My dad was, you know, he was good. My dad died from cancer when I was 6. And I didn't understand at that time. Because, you know, you're a little kid, you don't understand. Cancer, what is that? Right? So I was naive and I didn't know what was that. And my dad had to go to treatments and stuff like that. And, you know, my mom took care of me and my siblings. But I was more, you know, my dad took me to work. He took me to the park. He, a lot of things he did, you know.
I believe you said that he didn't allow you to allow your condition to inhibit you. He pushed you to be your best in spite of your situation.
No, yes, no, he did not. He was like, because when I was little, I was on a respirator, and he told the doctors to get me off of that. And my mother told me this. So, and I, at that time, I'm like, well, why would you do, why would he, you know, I didn't understand why. I guess he knew that I would make it. So I was like, and so ever since then, he was right. He was right. And I made it. And I'm still here.
Yeah. He saw the perfect you.
Yes. Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Now, in general, what was it like growing up with quadriplegia?
What was it like growing up? My family didn't treat me any differently. You know, my siblings saw me as Imani. My mom was like, you know, didn't treat me any differently either. My mom's like, homework, okay? Like, you know, like, homework, get on that. Even in school, even when I was like, you know, math was not my forte. And social studies was not my forte either. But my mother would show up. I will never forget this. I was working and going to school as well. But I went to class. I came into class one time, a couple of times late. My mother knew something was up. My mother showed up to my school, to my class, one of my social studies class. And I didn't know it. Until I came into the class, I saw my mom. And I was like, oh my God. You know, my mom was, you know, she was like, you want to get this education. Education was important to her. So when I saw her, I was like, oh my God. And my friend saw her, I was like, that's your mom. I was like, really? I'm saying to myself, really? Like, I didn't know that. I know. And I was in class, and I didn't raise my hand or anything like that. My mother was like, oh, Monty knows the answer. Monty knows the answer right there. And I'm like, no, this is not happening to me. But, you know, she did.
I guess she knew you could perform. I guess she wanted to see you perform and wanted to encourage you. And I'm sure that her very presence reaffirmed the fact that, you know, she's probably your number one cheerleader.
Yes, that too.
Yeah. So can you walk us through a typical day in your life and the adaptations that you've come to embrace?
Walk you through the day in my life.
A typical day.
My typical days. Well, I'm in meetings, a lot of meetings, and I got your text. So I was in a meeting. I'm an advocate. First and foremost, I'm an advocate. Because, and the reason why I'm an advocate not just for me, but I'm an advocate for everybody. And the reason why is that is because I think it's nothing. I know that it's very important. People don't have a voice, you know, so I have to be the voice for the voiceless. And sometimes, and for myself and for my family, sometimes, you know, if my mom, God forbid, she can't say something or talk, I have to be there to advocate for her. I have to tell them, like, no, that's not right. She don't like that. No, you know. So that's, you know, that's important.
How do you approach advocacy for people with disabilities in your writing?
Well, I mean, if you read it, it will take you there. You know, it will tell you how I do it and how I go about it. You know, if you take your time, literally take your time and read it, you'll get it.
Yeah, there are a lot of stories there, and it is a good read. It flows very well. And you talk about some of your relationships that you had in school and, of course, after school.
Yes.
The friendships you've made. How was it challenging making friends in school?
Okay, so when I went to public school, it was kind of like hard. It was hard. You know, new kid in a wheelchair, disabled, don't know how to make of it. You know, don't know how to make of this. You know, they think about, like, I don't know how to make of this. And I'm trying to do my best with the school and writing and everything. I'm trying to do my best. And I'm trying to make of it myself. Right? So that was kind of, so I had to adapt to that lifestyle, and I had to change, and, you know, then I had to adapt to another school, which was people that were disabled. And so I had to adapt to that. Right? So it was like, kind of interesting, I'll say that. It was interesting. Being that, you know, I went from a public school to kids that were not disabled to a school that a lot of kids were disabled.
We're going to take a brief break and we'll be back to My Laws of Success with Dr. J. Thomas Smith.
Radio established the foundation for the modern era in America. Since its inception, radio has had a significant impact on America and its culture. The rise of popular culture in America would have been impossible without the early influence of radio. Whole genres of music, such as country, pop, rhythm and blues, and rock, that are now taken for granted, owe their popularity and their existence to early radio programs that disseminated new kinds of music. This book offers a vivid portrayal of the history of American radio, as well as the impact Black Americans had in the development of radio. This book is about the evolution of radio, from its invention to its widespread use in America. Radio has been fundamental to the success of performing artists, pushing them and their music to meteoric heights. The book also provides a descriptive gloss into the evolution of Black music, as well as the history of Black radio, its role during the American Civil Rights Movement, and the current state of Black radio and music. It also presents a prophetic look into the future of radio generally, as well as the future of Black radio. Black Radio, An American History by J. Thomas Knight. Get your copies today.
And we're back.
How about accommodations? Was it a challenge to get accommodations in school, or even in life now? Do you still I know there was a time we in this country where accommodations were not very common. They're more common now. Do you still have challenges getting around and getting your needs met?
You know, I was doing mentoring, or I was in a mentoring class, and at first I didn't know how to, you know, take the truck, the bus, or whatever, public buses, and I'm like, how do I do this? And you know, and I can't forget this lady. Her name is Carl Massey. She came to my house. I remember this when I was 16, in a Cadillac. She's very small, short woman, short lady, and driving a Cadillac. And you know, but she showed me the ropes and how to do it and what to do and how to go about it. And I was like, oh, okay. So yeah, you know, buses is okay. Public buses, trains, stuff like that. So I was like, oh, all right, you know. You know, but people are rude. You know, people are very, very rude. And you have to be able to speak and speak to where they can understand you. And sometimes, you know, you have to be nice to them. And sometimes it comes out rude. You know, but yay, you know, people are rude too. So, you know.
And doing all of that, you remain optimistic and positive, and you keep pushing forward.
Yes, I did. I did.
Yeah. What was it like writing the book itself? I know it had to be challenging. I mean, sometimes I have problems with the keyboard, but I would imagine you had some challenges putting your words down on paper or in the computer.
You know, I was up all night until 1-2 o'clock in the morning, just typing on my phone with my mouthpiece. In my bed sometimes, and I just kept on going, and I just typed, because in the night it's okay. It's you know, everybody's sleeping. But, you know, daytime is like, I can't do it because I have so many Zoom meetings to be and things that I have to do during the day. So I would type at night and do things in the daytime.
How many words a minute do you type?
I don't even know. Be honest with you.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't even know. I don't even count them.
You know. And I don't hear, we don't hear people talking in that context anymore. You know, when we were actually typing, you know, the goal was to get up to 40, 50, 60 words a minute, you know, when you were applying for jobs. But I don't think people even talk in that context anymore. You just get it, do it till you get it done.
Yes.
What are some of the other challenges that you had writing the book? Or we might even say, what are some of the triumphs you had? You know, what were some of the obstacles you overcame?
Wow. It's a lot. Thank you.
Well, you talked about at your advocacy work. What do you, I know you said before that, you know, you're just a person, you know, you want, just like everybody else, you just do things differently.
Right.
How, I think that's a very profound message. And I think your book states it well. You have done things differently, but I want to say that the book is very moving. It's very inspiring. It flows very well.
And, thank you.
I think you do have a gift, as your brother said. And I hope this won't be your last book. What other impactful feedback have you had from other people?
Another person that interviewed me was impressed, you know, because I type in my mouth, you know, I have a pen. I use that's my, you know, I do everything, well, typing wise and texting wise. You know, I do it with my mouth. So I have a pen in my mouth. So I type and I'm on it, or if it's on a Zoom or something, I'm typing. I have to click the link and all this other stuff. So, because of my disability, I'm not able to use my hands very well. My dexterity is not good. But I can. So that's a challenge.
Yeah, I would imagine. Now, where do you find the resilience to get up and go for it with gusto every day, enthusiasm every day? How do you find that? Where do you find that enthusiasm?
I'm happy. I'm never like angry. I mean, okay, no, let me take that back. I do get like angry, but not too angry. If you push my buttons, then I'll get angry. But I'm always trying to be positive. I'm always positive. You'll never catch me, or the people will never say Marty's never. I've never heard her be unhappy.
You know, in your book, you say you're on an ongoing healing journey.
Yes. Being that you're disabled and so there's a certain level of disability. So mine is C5, right? So I'm totally paralyzed. So healing is, for me, you know, I can't move my body a certain way, so I need some help. And sometimes I get like sores that I address that in my book. I would have to have some healing. I would have to I have to heal, and be like, you have to give me some time. I'm still healing.
Yeah, you talked about staying fit. You said that by itself is a job.
Yes.
Share that with us. What is that like?
Okay, so fit. So exercise is important. Very important for me, especially for me, blood circulation, everything. When you're not walking, you'll get like a whole lot of health issues. Yeah. So I do boot camp with Access, AXIS. I'm sorry.
I'm listening.
With Wayne John.
Okay.
Shout out to Wayne. He's very nice. He does happy hour too.
Okay.
that I help him with. He's very, very nice. Mm-hmm. So I do boot camp with him, and get the blood circulating, moving.
Yeah, that is very, very important, because if the blood's not circulating, there's that risk of blood clots.
Yes.
Yeah, that can't be very good for you.
No, it's not. It really isn't.
Yeah, I've experienced one of those myself in the past, so I understand that challenge.
Yes.
Yeah. So now, in your day-to-day work, you are an advocate for those with disabilities?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And how long have you been doing that type of work?
Oh, wow. Ever since I was a kid.
Okay. Has that given you a flavor or a perspective as you approach the writing of your book?
A perspective?
Well, in other words, you're interacting with other individuals who have disabilities, and perhaps you saw your disability in contrast to theirs, or maybe you were more encouraged as you helped other people. you know, perhaps, you know, that pushed you somehow. Just a thought. I'm just trying to visualize what a day is like for you, and what your experience interacting with others, how that affects you each day.
First of all, I don't feel sorry for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have, what is that word? You have to have compassion for people, but not empathy. Mm-hmm. Sympathy. I get confused on which one is, but, you know, I am empathetic to people that are disabled like me. However, I don't give them the pity. I don't, you know, because I don't want to get pity back. So why should I give them pity, right?
Don't want to handicap them with pity. Yeah.
Right. So yeah. You know, it's like, you know, if you have one finger, move that finger.
Three things in your book that you would want someone to take away from it after reading it. Something that would improve their life or make their life better. What would that be?
I would have to say three things. Well, one thing is don't let anybody stop you from doing what you need to do or with passion.
Yes. Drive.
Keep moving and keep forward, pushing. Keep going forward, and that's about it. And only the Creator can stop you.
And what advice would you give to families and individuals navigating life with similar conditions from birth?
It's challenging. It is to have someone that, you know, is disabled, or, you know, it is, or but they are your family.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
You know, you're gonna have some good days and you're gonna have some bad days. Mm-hmm. But they are yours.
And what about relationships? How about personal relationships, romantic relationships?
Yeah. I did an interview with someone else, and they asked me about my relationships, and I know I put it in there, but
I'm thinking more or less just the for you. Have you had the benefit of fulfilling relationships that make your life better?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know, someone that wants for you what you want for yourself, you know, and is pushing you and encouraging you on a day-by-day basis.
It's funny because I do have, like, my exes are my friends. Now, mm-hmm. Now we're friends. Mm-hmm. Before it was like, okay, get away from me. you know, like, all right, we're done. Okay, bye. But we stay in touch, you know, but it's more like a hi, how you doing? Okay. Mm-hmm. Type thing. Right? So, in terms of that, you know, but other than that, it's like, wow, my relationships.
Now that's a deep question. You could probably write a book about that, huh?
You know, I could, but I'm not.
I hear you. Let me ask you this. Have you ever driven a car?
I did, and it did not go well.
Okay. I hope it ended well. Not a bad experience for everybody.
I will not be driving anytime soon. That's okay. All I have to say.
Okay.
I took driver's ed, and I was supposed to be on the FDR drive, merge into the left lane, and it didn't. Nobody got hurt, though.
Well, that's good. That is so good.
And I didn't hear it, so.
Well, Well, your book is The Life, and again, it's Imani McKinnon. Now, the book's available on Amazon, right? It just came out?
Yes. Yes, Amazon.
That's Imani McKinnon. That's McKinnon, folks. You can log in right now to Amazon and get that book. Are you having any kind of special promotion at this time? Was that something you're planning in the future?
I'm not too sure just yet. Yeah. I did want it to have an audiobook as well.
Oh, that would be great.
For people, that's something that we need to discuss later on down the line.
Absolutely. Well, hey, I really think that it would be a great audiobook because it is a great book to read. It's The Life. And how did you happen to come across that title? How did you come up with that title?
It's all about me, right? So why not? You know?
Why not? Imani, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast today. I'd love to talk to you again in the future.
Thank you.
I'm
honored.
Oh, hey. I'm honored to have interviewed you. I know you're a little nervous at the beginning. But,
I saw your YouTube, okay? Let me tell you, this man is, his YouTube channel. You should check him out.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
You really go in. And I was nervous.
Well, that's okay. I love what I do. I love people. And I just love your contribution to the world of writing and reading. And it's a great read. And again, thank you for being you and thank you for all you do.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Yeah, we need advocates like you. Imani McKinnon, thank you. She shared her unique life experiences with us. And I want you to pay her back, buy the book. I think you will like it and it will enhance your life also. As we wrap up today's episode of My Laws of Success with Dr. J. Thomas Smith, I want to thank you for joining me and Imani on this journey of personal growth and self-discovery. Remember, success is not just a destination, but a continuous journey of learning and evolving. I encourage you to take the insights and strategies shared today and apply them to your life. Until next episode, keep striving, keep growing, and remember, your potential is limitless. I'm Dr. J. Thomas Smith signing off. Stay motivated. And stay inspired.
Did you love what you heard in this week's episode? Well, it would mean the world to us if you could head over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review and feedback. Spreading the word really is the best way to grow our podcast and achieve even greater success. Thank you. Until next time, make it a successful week.
J. Thomas Smith Radio.